where it is, no matter I'm in good situation, no matter I'm in good situation, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 11, I have learned to be content. That's the key phrase. When you think about Paul's lifestyle, and the one thing that Paul hardly ever mentions anywhere throughout the course of the entire writings, he never mentions his family. He hardly talks about the things that he'd give up. He had talked about the things before he counts as rubbish. He mentions that. He talks about Romans, the 10th chapter. He talks about his desire that the nation of Israel would come to God. But he doesn't talk a lot about his past life. But we know through reading the scriptures and what he would testify before Felix, before Festus, we know that this was somebody who was raised in a certain level of prominence. He was a Roman citizen, as he would testify to one of the soldiers. And this was a person who was trained at the feet of Gamaliel, the preeminent Jewish scholar of that day. This was somebody in modern language who not only went to a private Ivy League or private school, but then went to an Ivy League college and then was a Rhodes Scholar and trained at Oxford and Cambridge for his postgraduate. This was a guy that had immense education, had immense privilege, had immense wealth. But he was also, after he became a Christian, a man who went through unspeakable tortures and unspeakable depravity. And yet he talks about here, about focusing on the things that are lovely, focusing on the God of peace. But then in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 11, he mentions, I have learned in all things to be content. And that's the key phrase that I want to focus on. When you break down Philippians chapter 4 and verse 11, it's a three-step process for us all in order to attain contentment in our own lives. And when you talk about the great needs that we have in today's world, does it really get any more important, at least separate from salvation, than just contentment? Discontentment is something that makes us reach out, seek apart from God the things that we want, seek satisfaction outside of his fold, outside of his arms. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 11, Paul says, I have discovered, more or less, the secret to contentment. But the one thing he mentions starting off here in this passage is, I have learned what it means to be content. You ever see those people you walk through, maybe you know friends like this, or maybe you have friends like this, maybe you have family that's this way, but people that just seem to be happy no matter what it is. People that just seem innately happy and joyful. People that just seem to bottle everything up, and people that no matter what life throws their way, they can just take it and go with it. And we tend to look at those people and we idolize them. We think to ourselves, I would love to have that talent or to have that trait, to just be happy through everything, to be content, to take the punches and keep going. Paul admits here in Philippians chapter 4 and the 11th chapter, that contentment is something that he has learned. And if it's something that Paul learned, that means it's something that you can learn as well. Good news, if you're sitting here this morning and you're just a grump, and you're not content no matter what it is, and you're not happy no matter if you've got 10 Twinkies or 100 Twinkies, which I like Twinkies, but if you're just not happy no matter what, there's hope for you. Because contentment is something that you can learn. I want to go to 2 Corinthians 11th chapter. Flip over there if you would. I know it says Hebrews the 5th chapter. I want to look at this. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians 11th chapter. This is not a section that is probably unfamiliar to most of us. In 2 Corinthians 11th chapter, starting in verse 23. Listen to what he has to say here. This is when he's describing all the things that he had given to this church. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, starting in verse 23, he asks, are they servants of Christ? I speak as if insane. I more so. He's comparing himself to the people that the church at Corinth revered. But he continues on in verse 23, saying, in far more labors, in far more imprisonments, beaten times without number, often in danger of death. Don't just pass by that. Meditate on that for a second. Verse 24, five times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. I don't want to take one lash. I got enough from my dad when I was growing up. Verse 25, three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I've spent in the deep. Verse 26, I have been on frequent journeys, on dangers from rivers, on dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, dangers among false brethren. I have been in labor and hardship through many sleepless nights, in hunger and in thirst, often without food and cold and exposure. The last verse there in verse 28 talks about his spiritual torture that he's gone through. But focus in on what he says just there through verse 23 down through verse 27. All the things that Paul had gone through, all the imprisonments, all the tortures, all the things that he had gone through. And that's just what he could remember. No telling how many things he had forgotten through all those beatings that he had gone through. That's just the stuff that came off the top of the head in that moment that he felt fit to put right there. But when you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, flip a couple chapters earlier. Keep that in mind of what we just read in 2 Corinthians 11. Flip to chapter 4. And in chapter 4, all of this in your rearview mirror. Listen to the encouragement that he gives to the church here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He says, starting in verse 16, therefore we do not lose heart. It would take a couple lashes for me to lose heart about a lot of things. The growth that we would want is to continue to push on, even though we've done through these things. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, therefore we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, especially in Paul's case, yet our inner man is being renewed by day. And listen to how he characterizes the things that he had just talked about, or he would talk about in chapter 11. Verse 17, for momentary light affliction. Focus in on that. How did he just describe the lashes that he received? How did he just describe the night and the day spent in the deep? How did he just describe all the times he was stoned, beaten, left for dead in shipwrecks? How did he just describe those things? As momentary light affliction. The reason he views it that way is in comparison to what he's talking about at the end of this section. This momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. You want to know the reason that Paul was able to say in 2 Corinthians 11th chapter, all those verses 23 down to verse 27, you know the reason he was able to call that momentary light affliction? Is because he put all of those things in this little box, and then he compared it to the glory that awaits him in heaven. And comparatively speaking, this is nothing compared to what's eventually going to happen, the reward that is his anchor for the soul, as the Hebrew writer would say in Hebrews chapter 6. That's not something that comes naturally. If you get beaten once, if you're in a shipwreck, if you have a flat tire, those are things that are tough. Those are things that will tax your soul, tax your patience, and